As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's still a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Friday, June the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, lots of that. Hard facts, certainly. Sometimes we even get into the workable solutions basket for you. But if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're not alone. But you're definitely in the right place to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on, bookmark, becomevocallocal.com or vocallocal.org. To engage in our chat room, just click on the chat room link on the home page, and voila, you're in there. Or you can pick up the telephone, call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014, if that's working today, and join us live on air. And if not, from around America and around the world, you can always call in toll-free, 866-841-1065, to join us live on air. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96, small town America, Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Once again, a big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro, 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, and AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Why, we're getting out there this morning. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. All of that contact information, so much, much more available at the oraclebroadcasting.com and the becomevocallocal.com websites. Financial regulations take shape this morning prior to G8 and G20 summits. We'll talk about that. Metals up, equities down as the carousel careens along toward a basket of fiat currencies. Hell, we'll talk about that too. John Stuart Mill is still on our radar screen on representative government. I do want to go there today. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into our market report for this morning, Friday, June the 25th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but 1 hour ago. Gold was up $7.40 an ounce, trading at $1,250.80. Boy, you got to like that. Silver bounces up 13 cents, trades at $18.81, once again closing in on that $19 mark. The platinum this morning up $2 at $1,561, and palladium off two at $470 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $1,240.90 for a low, $1,254.10 for a high, $14 spread in there. Things are looking good, but at $1,250.80, your gold is up $311.90 year to year for a 33.32% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London set the price of gold at $1,242.50, and it went up $7.50. The SPDR gold shares this morning bumps up again. They were in the market, taking advantage of the low lows. I certainly hope you did too. They weren't sleeping. They picked up another 3.05 metric tons to add to their treasure chest, bringing them up to 1,316.18 tons, valued on State Street at $52.30 billion. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Much more to come.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, June the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Back in and close out our market report for again this morning, Friday. Active trading out of New York City. Things are starting to come around a little bit, closing out the week on a higher note. All week long, the precious metals have been taking it in the, well, the proverbial shorts. Short selling, that is. Gold this morning moves up $7.40, and we find it at $1,250.80 at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time an hour ago. Silver up 13 cents at $18.81 an ounce. Platinum up $2 at $1,561 an ounce. And palladium off $2 at $470 an ounce. Again, the SPDR gold shares took advantage of the decline in the price of gold. If they hadn't engineered it themselves, they might have. They got the money to do it. But they picked up 3.05 metric tons of gold while the price was down. I'll bet you didn't. But they did. And they're now holding $52.30 billion in their gold treasure chest, their gold hoard, if you will, although some would question whether it exists. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed off 146 yesterday. Lots of red ink in the stock market to 10,153. The NASDAQ down 37, closing out at 2217, and the S&P 500 off 18 at 1,074. Crude oil this morning off 31 cents, trades at $76.82 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. traded as they are in Oklahoma. The U.S. dollar index, according to the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc.'s website, their little trade-weighted basket of currencies, and the roll-up to the G8 and the G20 are up 12 basis points, trades at 85.86. Of course, that impacts the foreign exchange, where we find the Canadian loonie this morning bumping up 48 basis points as everyone swings into Toronto. Bumps up 48 basis points, and the Canadian loonie exchanges for the U.S. dollar at 96 cents a pop. The Mexican peso moves up 14 basis points. They're in our little security, North American Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement of North America, all that nonsense. You know, that's why we do it like we do it. Anyway, bumps up 14 basis points, trades out at 8 cents U.S. The euro, gaining a little bit of the ground it's lost in the past 30 days, moves down, however, this morning, 37 basis points. Yet trades at $1.23 U.S. The British pound, nice and strong and proud this morning, up 0.7% or 7 basis points, trades $1.50 U.S. So if you're going to travel off to jolly old England and sit around in the pubs and knock back the beers and be observed by the CCTV cameras, well, you're going to have to spend a buck and a half a piece for those pounds. The Swiss franc this morning going up also 18 basis points, trades out at 91 cents U.S. In the bond market, the bonded indebtedness, the U.S. Treasury is continuing to decline in the return. The yield goes down to 0.868%, 0.68% this morning on the two-year. The 10-year sinks to 3.16, and the 30-year runs in at 4.12%. So with yields like that, why bother, right? Well, maybe Benjamin Bernanke will pick up a few more of these bonds. The mortgage market this morning, the 15-year fixed mortgage, continuing to entice people into the market, although from what I've heard, it's very, very difficult to find a lender to put it in your pocket. Nevertheless, the 15-year fixed mortgage this morning moves down from 4.2% a month ago to 4.1, and the 30-year moves down from 4.87 to 4.72. And of course, my advice is always to turn first to those 15-year mortgages. Save yourself 15 years of grief. Get out of the interest basket 15 years early. Look at the fixed 15-year mortgage. Get in there, get out of there, and be done with it. Forget about these 30-year mortgages. God only knows if we'll even be alive in 30 years, right? Prime rate this morning at 3.25%, so the banks aren't going to help you. Certainly take a look at gold and silver. Add some to your portfolio if and when and where you can. All right, let's go into the news for this morning. Lawmakers agree on a sweeping Wall Street overhaul. I can't think of any one piece of news that has given, you know, has gotten more space than this. On Bloomberg's website, it looks like it's many pages long. I'm going to tell you, it's a big one. We'll never be able to cover it all. So I'm pointing to it right now, to you, pointing it out to you. Lawmakers agree on sweeping Wall Street overhaul. You can find the entire article up on Bloomberg this morning. It's a lengthy article. I'm just going to start in a little bit. We'll go for a while with it, and then I'm going to set it aside because there's no way I'm going to take an hour and a half to go through and read this whole thing. But congressional negotiators today approved the most sweeping overhaul of U.S. financial regulation since the Great Depression, reshaping oversight of Wall Street. Whatever happened to that audit the Fed bill? Whatever happened to end the Fed drive? Well, it's all gone up in a puff of smoke anyway. Lawmakers from the House and the Senate worked through the night in a 20-hour session to reach deals on a ban on proprietary trading by banks and oversight of the derivatives market. Yeah, they stayed up and worked all night on this one. Wow, a 20-hour session. This month, they've also agreed on measures to wind down big firms whose collapse might shake markets, to keep tabs on hedge funds, and to make it easier for investors to sue credit rating companies. Well, so far, so good, right? Sounds like it's going to be good, but as we continue to dig into this deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and heavier and more relaxed, and your body is like a heavy dead mummy. Well, no, we're not going to hypnotize the audience. Well, we're just going to read the article. This, here's a quote, is going to be a very strong bill and stronger than almost everybody predicted that it could be and that I frankly thought it would be. House Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank, a Massachusetts Democrat, told reporters June the 23rd as lawmakers prepared for the final round of talks. Committee of Lawmakers from the House and the Senate spent 2 weeks reconciling the bill passed by each chamber. The legislation still needs to be approved by the full House and the Senate, so it ain't a done deal yet. Congressional leaders aim to hold those votes next week and present it for Barry the Usurper's signature by July the 4th. I'm sure they're going to shoot for July the 4th. This will probably be the nail in our coffin. It certainly won't be an Independence Day. It won't be Banking Independence Day. It's just continuing servitude to the Rothschild banking cartel and all of their friends. They are huge accomplishments. Senate Banking Committee Chairman Christopher Dodd told reporters June the 23rd. So now the authors here of this bill, Dodd and Frank, they have both been mentioned. Whether the legislation now named the Dodd-Frank bill, it couldn't be the Glass-Steagall bill. No, it's going to be the Dodd-Frank bill. Takes the right steps or goes far enough is still a matter of debate. Yeah, and it's going to be a matter of debate and probably for some time. Unfortunately, you're not going to have a voice at that debate, and I won't be at the table either. It doesn't reform anything. Not anything that needs to be reformed, said William Isaac. Doesn't sound like he's a Scottish fellow. The former chairman of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and now chairman of Fifth Third Bank Corp in a June 23rd interview. Quote, we haven't done anything to repair this 100-year-old regulatory structure. All right, now there's a little bit of wisdom coming at you. William Isaac, for whatever you're worth, at least he's speaking something that sounds like truth to me. I like to find those little sentences in these articles. What follows are the scope, impacts, and impetus for some of the major provisions, and we'll pick all that up right after this. Stay tuned.
Heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Summer's coming. Are you prepared for adventure or natural disaster? Sea Panel makes delicious, drinkable water from any source. Make even contaminated ocean water more pure than bottled water. 100% solar powered. Goes where you go, sets up in seconds. No filters to replace, no complicated maintenance. Make over a gallon per day per unit. Sea panels aren't filters. They're desalination units, able to remove salt, fluoride, and dissolved contaminants. Peace of mind and preparedness, starting at just $99. Now, enter the word Oracle into the coupon box to receive free U.S. shipping and a free 8-in-1 stainless steel survival card knife. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Oh, yes. Once again, back into this piece of legislation right off of Bloomberg. This is important, folks. This is important. It's going to have a lot of impact going forward from here. We're in deep financial dog duty all over the planet. And we've got this kind of legislation coming along that is not going to put the Federal Reserve in the right place. It's not going to put the Treasury in the right place, and it's not going to bring any grief and mayhem to the Wall Street bankster gangsters either. But here we go. We're going to go into just a couple of pieces of this draft legislation, you might say, and we're not going to spend too much time on it, I can assure you, because it would be easy to just suck up the entire broadcast on this inquiry. So, just bear with me for a few minutes. I want to give you a little bit of a flavor of just some of the keys or some of the highlights. There's certainly far more, and I have not read the legislation. I don't know whether anyone's ever read the entire draft legislation. It hasn't been signed by anybody yet except for the committee, so I'm not going to take the time out of my life to embark on another one of these 2,000-page reads. But here we go. The Obama administration's proposal to ban banks from proprietary trading, nicknamed the Volcker Rule, after Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker was softened by Senate negotiators. All right? You know which side of the bread is buttered. You know who's, you know, getting greased here in this shoe. Banks will be allowed to invest in private equity and hedge funds, though they will be limited to providing no more than 3% of the fund's capital. Of course, there's got to be transparency on their balance sheets for you to know what percentage they're actually investing. Banks also can't invest more than 3% of their Tier 1 capital. I don't know how many tiers they have, but you won't ever find out, probably. The change offered by Dodd, that would be Christopher Dodd, alters language in a bill the Senate approved in May. Hold on, we got a call coming in. Would you like to be on the radio? Okay, would you call back later? Thank you. No, I don't know how long you have to live in the same house before people figure out you do a radio broadcast daily. Anyway, the change offered by Dodd alters language in a bill the Senate approved in May, which would have barred banks again from sponsoring or investing in private equity and hedge funds. Now, this is going to get so dry, you know, you're going to need an aerosol mister to keep your eyes lubricated as you read this. I'm not going to spend much more time on it. But lawmakers offered the modification to appease Senator Scott Brown. Everybody remembers Senator Scott Brown, all right, the Tea Party darling. Lawmakers offered the modification to appease Senator Scott Brown, a Massachusetts Republican who was concerned the ban would harm Boston-based State Street Corporation. I wonder how much State Street kicked into his Tea Party campaign. He was one of four Republicans to break party ranks and vote for the Senate bill. Oh, he broke party ranks. Not a Tea Party fellow, but he broke the ranks. Anyway, Senate negotiators also agreed to give regulators less say than previously proposed to define a ban on proprietary trading. Dodd backed a change offered by Democratic Senators Jeff Merkley of Oregon and Carl Levin of Michigan that, quote, more clearly defines the limits on proprietary trading by writing the ban into the legislation. The earlier Senate bill would have let regulators write it. This thing's just going to go on and on and on as you go through it. Please do. Take the time to look at it. Show some interest in this, one way or t'other. Do take a moment out of your day and look at this lengthy article. Because what I think you might find in it, or what you'll see in it, is much the same as what I've seen in it. It's just new boss, same as the old boss. Here we go on the carousel once again. As we say, the carousel careens along toward a basket of fiat currencies, hell. And that's where we're headed, to hell in a handbasket. A little bit more here. The conflict of interest provision seeks to address fraudulent conduct alleged in a Securities and Exchange Commission lawsuit against Goldman Sachs. And so while we've been all, you know, wringing our handkerchiefs, and rightfully so, over the Macondo gently weeps, this whole process has been going on in the background. If you want to have a magician's trick, this would be a good one. Have a well start to become errant in the Gulf at the same time as this legislation, which, you know, controls the bankster gangsters, and where we found that Goldman Sachs was involved in the Securities and Exchange lawsuit. They just completely went off the screen. They went off the radar. They went down underneath the pole, and everybody else was focused on the oil spill. But this thing is moving forward. These people are capable of either making or breaking the global economy. Yeah, Macondo is important, but these guys have the ability, folks, to loan into existence trillions and trillions and trillions and put us all in bondage, not only for our lives, but for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren's lives, such that we may never, ever be free on this planet again financially. Of course, we haven't been in my lifetime, but at least there was hope, right? Goes a little further here. Derivatives, you know, everybody talks about the derivatives, you know, the credit default swaps and all the other stuff that goes on in all of this. This is what really they crafted to bring us into this, you know, time period of financial hell. But they're not going away from it. After spending months crafting legislation, lawmakers pushed through a last-minute deal on what they termed the most challenging part of their task, establishing for the first time a regulatory structure for the $615 trillion over-the-counter derivatives markets, okay? Establishing a regulatory structure for the $615 trillion over-the-counter derivatives market. They don't abolish it. They don't prosecute the people that created it and profited from it. What they're going to do is try and regulate it. So they're going to take a wild, raging lion, roaring, rampaging lion, lion rampant, if I might say so, perhaps even a pair of them off the Crown's own coat of arms. But we've got this pair of rampant lions raging, and they're not going to abolish it. They're just going to try and give rules and regulations for it, you know. No, no, Mr. Lion, don't eat that small country. Oh, bad lion, he ate the country. That's what's happening. Okay, so the most contentious part of the derivatives rule is a provision that will force banks to push some of their swaps trading into subsidiaries on the theory it would reduce the taxpayers' risk if the trades are walled off from depository institutions that enjoy federal benefits such as access to the Federal Reserve's discount lending window. Well, notice the language in there, all right? On the theory it would reduce the taxpayers' risk. You think there might be something coming down the pike, folks, where forevermore it's going to be up to, quote-unquote, the taxpayers to continue to bank out or bail out these failing banks and banking institutions? That's what it sounds like to me, all right? It wasn't a one-time deal to save the economy. It wasn't a quantitative easing. No, it's going to become the rule of the day, all right? The original proposer by Senator Blanche Lincoln, you know, she had the Arkansas Democrat. She had this real contested race going down there. Who is chairman of the Senate Agricultural Committee, would have banned all swaps trading by commercial banks. It touched off intense lobbying from opponents, including the banking industry. We've talked about these lobbyists before. They're basically just salesmen, right? Just salesmen, arm twisters. Graft, corruption. Yesterday, if you missed the segment in Mike Chambers' broadcast, go back and listen to it. Credit Mobiliaire, the Teapot Dome scandal. Get a little of that under your belt one more time if you missed that part of his broadcast. Listen to the archives. Very good presentation. Again, in the final hours of negotiation, let's pick up a little bit more. Touched off intense lobbying from opponents, including the banking industry, banking regulators, the Obama administration, and lawmakers of both parties, who said the proposal could drive up costs for businesses and send businesses to foreign lenders. Well, it just gets worse. It doesn't get better, but we will be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we've returned once again, and I'm looking at another article now. I'm going to have to set aside the other one. It's just way too lengthy. I mean, we could go on and on and on. These guys have been working on this legislation for quite some time. So if you're at all interested in financial news, if you're all at all interested in the shape of things to come financially, and you have the time over the weekend, perhaps today, you might want to copy that link off of Bloomberg. And go and look at it yourself. The lawmakers agree. Bloomberg, that's in the new news today. Here's a little bit more off of Bloomberg. Cameron's austerity sets benchmark for the G20 summit. All right, now that's all coming up today and over the weekend as well. You got the G8 meeting that's happening, I think, today. G20 kicks off tomorrow. It's a one-day affair. And they've spent billions of dollars getting ready for this thing. But UK Prime Minister David Cameron, of course, this is new news. Simon Kennedy and Theophilus Argyrides writing for Bloomberg. But UK Prime Minister David Cameron showing the way on fiscal austerity as he attends his first summit of world leaders today. Whether his path leads to recovery or another recession is driving a transatlantic dispute that will dominate the talks in Canada. All right. This guy's been at it, 6 weeks? Chastened by the Greek crisis, Cameron's six-week-old government this week proposed Britain's biggest round of budget cuts since World War II to reduce a deficit worth 11% of the gross domestic product, GDP, the largest in the group of 20. European policymakers fear failure to patch up public finances now risk reviving a bond market sell-off that required a bailout for Greece last month, while Barry the Usurper says deficit reduction could hurt economic growth and employment. I'm telling you, I mean, this thing, it's just unbelievable. The UK presents a test case for G20 politicians as they argue how quickly to act. So you got the UK here, you got Australia in the news yesterday. We're looking at this balancing act that's going on. It's all the Crown and Parliament assembled, right? And all the various prime ministers priming the pump for continuing misery going forward. Here's a quote. This is going to be one of the biggest experiments, and the U.S. can sit and watch and look to see what happens to the U.K. output data, which I suspect is about to collapse, David Blanchflower, a former Bank of England policymaker, said in a radio interview with Tom Keane on Bloomberg Surveillance. Cameron, the usurper, and colleagues from the Group of Eight meet today, that was yesterday, that was the 24th, in Huntsville, Ontario, and join their G20 counterparts today in Toronto. Leaders last year anointed the largest enlarged group as the main forum for global economic coordination. Now, as I've shared with you in the past, it has been a long-standing tradition in corporations that when you have the little people clamoring for a seat at the table, quite often, to acquiesce and give a notice to the little people, the original board of directors will say, fine, they'll expand the hem of their garment, they'll lease or furnish another larger conference room, and they'll allow a larger group to have a deliberative assembly and come in and talk and discuss and interject and make recommendations. But altogether too often, what occurs then is that the original group, the gangster banksters, the guys with the big cigars in the smoky room, they just move their meeting down the street. Maybe they go to their favorite Italian restaurant with booths that have curtains that can be drawn, or someplace kind of dark and quiet where they can enjoy a cognac and a cigar. And all things continue as they were. Only the board thinks that they have some say, and I think that's much what we're seeing here. You've got the G8 having a meeting just prior to the larger expanded garment of the G20. What happens at the G20 will likely be what comes out of the G8, and that's not the same as the vegetable juice. It's a little different. Just as they split on how much to spend fighting the global credit crisis, governments are now at odds over when to start trimming a G20 debt load that the International Monetary Fund estimates will average 110% of their gross domestic product in 2015, all right? 5 years from now, we're talking about 20 countries where their total debt load will exceed their total gross domestic product. Talk about going down the drain. You aren't going to need Drano for this one. While China's decision to allow a more flexible yuan may cool discussions over exchange rates, how ludicrous is that? The arm twisting and the threatening that has been going on between the IMF and the United States, you know, Barry the Usurper and the boys and Bernanke and Geithner and all the rest of them, been over there pounding away on their Chinese trading partners to unpeg the yuan, and now the author writes China's decision to allow a more flexible yuan. What's up with all of that? Consensus among the G20 has been the hallmark of prior summits and the source of its effectiveness. Well, it's always consensus building. It's dialogue to consensus. It's the Delphi technique. And all of the white papers, the reports, all of that, they're prepared in advance. Those that are interested read some of it. Some of them. Others don't read any of it. They just come and glad hand and meet and greet and eat and treat and do all of the things that these folk like to do. Behind concertina wire and concrete ecology blocks and thousands of armed police, right? The Chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne, began June 22nd with an emergency budget that imposed a levy on banks, raised the sales tax, and slashed spending. The plan, alongside measures proposed by the prior government, will generate 113 billion pounds or 168 billion U.S. of deficit cuts, 15% of the 737 billion budget foreseen for 2015, the Treasury said. And it continues on and on, talks about all the things that are likely to be going down over the G20. So again, this article is far too lengthy for me to take the time today to read it, but you can find it up on Bloomberg's website if you're at all concerned or interested. Here's a little bit more. I thought this was a little bit interesting. You know, we're talking about how Detroit, you know, the only thing moving in Detroit right now are the caterpillars knocking the houses over. But this article, again, Bloomberg, new news today, June 25th, SAIC aims to raise up $1.5 billion in a share placement. Well, that's not the SAIC or the SIAC or all that. No, what this is SAIC Motor Corporation, China's largest car maker, aims to raise as much as 10 billion yuans. I'm sure everyone's yawning already, $147 billion U.S. in a private share placement to expand the world's biggest auto market by developing their own brand vehicles, all right? Just understand this. There's a lot of people that live in China. As they raise their standard of living, even for the Chinese will come this short, perhaps brief, but nevertheless inevitable time period where they too will have a Warden June Cleaver lifestyle, and everybody will have a 2005, I don't know, MG in their driveway. Yeah, that's right, MG. You'll hear about it in a moment. The company will sell as many as 900 million yuan denominated A shares, and its parent company, Shanghai Automotive Industry Corporation Group, agreed to buy at least 10% of the shares for a 1 billion yuan or more, the automaker said in a statement late yesterday to the Shanghai Stock Exchange. What you're seeing is the emergence of what will become the biggest automobile manufacturing company and companies on the planet Earth forever. Forever. As long as personal transportation devices are available, no doubt. Producing more of its own brand vehicles may help Shanghai Motors Company and Volkswagen AG that account for most of its sales. China, which surpassed the United States in auto sales last year, is encouraging domestic automakers to develop their own brands and alternative energy savings technology. All right? So the thumb in the nose of whatever went down in GM and Chrysler and Ford and Daimler and Volkswagen and all the rest of that. And they're moving into their own world of automotive transportation. SAIC may sell the most cars in China, but they've been relying on their ventures with overseas partners and haven't developed their own brands. This is all changing. Liu Lixi, an analyst at Northeast Securities Company, says their peers have been developing their own brands for the past decades. That's going to change. China's going to start developing their own brand of automobile sales targets. The carmaker aims to sell 180,000 of its own brand vehicles this year, President Chen Hong said in March. By comparison, the company's overall sales target is 3 million units. SIAC owns the British Rover and the MG sports car brands, and renamed the Rover cars in China as the Roui, after taking over the design rights in 2005. It plans to start making MG cars at its plant in the United Kingdom. Now that 1978 MG, a midget I just about bought one. I was between that MG and the Honda Civic. And really, it was only practicality and utility that won out, because I've always regretted that I didn't pick up an MG the same year. I love those little cars. We'll be right back.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com. The official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So as we look at the demise of manufacturing all across the United States and a continuing cessation, you know, of any kind of a semblance of prosperity, morality, or anything else, it shouldn't be too surprised that, you know, you're going to find a news article like this, and I thank the chatter for setting it for me. Strip club files a claim over the oil spill. All right? Here's another good one. This is a little older article, June the 20th, 2010. Maybe you've heard of this before. We've been talking about this before. You guys can't take money out of somebody's pockets. You can't just fire a bunch of people. You can have unending, record-breaking unemployment and not have the trickle down. You know, it's going to happen. Well, here it is, biting these people in their bare bottoms, that's for sure. An unlikely company has filed a claim for compensation regarding the disaster, or we could say catastrophe, as Robert Schroeder likes to say, a New Orleans strip club. That's it, baby. The owners of the Mimosa Dancing Girls, located on the edge of New Orleans, claimed that the spill was bad for business. Not that the extra lubrication was a problem, but the fishermen, who usually frequented the club, cannot afford to spend their money there. British newspaper The Observer reported BP announced yesterday it already received 664,000 compensation claims, adding it already paid $104 million to the residents along the U.S. Gulf Coast. I don't know how many strip girls got that money, but they really, you know, they got a claim here. Most of the 1,500 claims the energy giant handles each day were said to be from those involved in the fishing industry. As a fishing ban prohibits them from working, of course, that affects everybody, including these poor girls here, right? As well as strip joint owners, restaurant workers, dock workers, plumbers, and electricians also came to the center, saying their livelihoods were severely hit, the newspaper reported. What do you think? Fishermen operate in a vacuum? Well, of course they do. BP set up 33 field offices. Wonder how long it took them to figure that number out. They probably had to go down to the local Masonic lodge, scratch on the door, seeking more light, right? A little seance with Lucifer, and decided to set up 33 field offices in the states of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida, and a 1,000-strong team was set to deal with the claimants. The firm said it would not refuse any claim where the right documentation was provided. I guess these girls would probably be capable of providing all the documentation needed to fulfill their claims, huh? Anyway, back to China. I don't imagine that this story is going to make much news, but I thought it was interesting. SAIC, again, owns the British Rover and the MG sports car brands. What a beautiful little car. Hey, the Rover wasn't all that bad either. Kind of historic, you know, all these safari movies that you saw when you were growing up as a child. Well, that British Rover is no longer made in England, I suppose, being made in China. But what a travesty. I don't know, have you ever taken a look at the MG Zero concept car? They've gone from beautiful to downright ugly. Anyway, they still keep the little MG license or the emblem, but it's beyond that, it's not much of an auto. The car maker will sell shares to as many as 10 investors, including its parent company, at a price of not less than who cares. Possible investors include securities companies and institutional investors. SAIC aims to boost revenue to 245 billion yuan. If you looked at the yawn, you'd yawn about it, too. It's not much. It's like a couple of pennies. The company's vehicle sales rose 26% from a year earlier to 289,329 in May, the automobile maker said on June the 7th. Demand in China for automobiles, including the Buick XL compact sedans that SAIC makes with GM and Sunshine minivans produced by its SAIC GM Wuling unit, help the Chinese automaker boost first quarter profits more than fourfold to 2.8 billion yuan. And here we are bailing out General Motors. Well, that really isn't very good, isn't it? Here's another one. Last news article for today. In the second hour, we're going to go straight in to our study of on representative government with John Stuart Mill. I jump around a little bit in the book rather than doing it linearly, but I may not. We'll see how it goes. U.S. request to delay lifting of the drilling ban has been denied. All right, so there's a little blowback here. Friday, June 25th, new news, Laurel Brubaker Culkins and Margaret Fisk. Writing this for Bloomberg, kind of a collaborative thing. Don't know who brought the pens and who brought the pencils. But a federal judge denied the U.S. government request to delay an order that allows deepwater oil drilling to resume. While the U.S. notified an appeals court that it would challenge the decision lifting the six-month moratorium. U.S. District Judge Martin Feldman, again in New Orleans yesterday, refused to stay his June the 22nd order, lifting the moratorium imposed by Barry the Usurper. The government said it would appeal and ask Feldman to put his order on hold. Well, he's not going to do that. The defendant's motion to stay pending appeal is hereby denied for the same reasons given in this court's June 22, 2010 order granting the plaintiff's motion for a preliminary injunction, Feldman wrote in yesterday's ruling. The judge said in the earlier decision that the ban was too broad and would cause irreparable harm to offshore oil service companies. You don't think there's going to be a cessation of anything, do you? More lies for old. It's going to continue. Charles Miller, the spokesman for the... And why shouldn't it? You have an accident with one rig doesn't mean that all rigs are bad. It's the wrong approach. Charles Miller, spokesman for the U.S. Justice Department, declined to comment on yesterday's ruling. The government yesterday filed a notice with the Court of Appeals in New Orleans saying defendants, including Kenneth Salazar, the Secretary of the Interior, hereby appeal. So they're appealing it. Barry the Usurper temporarily halted the drilling in waters deeper than 500 feet. Of course, that earlier one was in 200 feet of water, so I guess it doesn't matter how deep it is. You make a mistake, you make a mistake. Hornbeck Offshore Services, Inc., and more than a dozen Louisiana offshore service and supply companies sued the U.S. regulators to lift the ban, arguing they would suffer irreparable economic harm from the suspension in drilling. once again, just closing this out now, the moratorium on deep water drilling ordered in the wake of the BP PLC oil spill in the Gulf is essential to ensure public safety, the U.S. said in court papers. Well, a moratorium isn't necessary. What we need to do is to take a look at the rules and the regulations and stop giving these people like British Petroleum and others of their caliber, Exxon, Mobil, PLC, Shell, and the rest of them, stop giving them a pass. Make sure that they, you know, dot their I's and cross their T's. Make sure that they come to the table with a full toolkit and they can support it. You know, show it. Show us how you're going to deal with this incident and that incident and so on and so forth. And after that, just shake the dust off your sandals and get on down the road. These guys bring the second largest fund source to the table, topped only by the IRS. You don't want to get in there and mess with your meal ticket. The decision to impose a moratorium on the deep water drilling was and is the right decision, the Salazar said in a statement. He'll issue a new order in the coming days that eliminates any doubt that a moratorium is needed, appropriate, and when within their authority. Well, whose authority is it? Well, certainly, if you've got a federal judge saying no and you got a agency saying yes, at least they're in, I think, the right jurisdiction. I don't know, maybe the correct venue. Have to get Alfred Addis to come on and figure this one out for us. Continuing, no immediate enforcement. Feldman yesterday denied the plaintiff's request for immediate enforcement, calling the motion premature. All right? Premature. And so, with that, I could go on, but there's no reason to do that. Let's go ahead and make the shift right now, and we'll carry it into the second hour. I've been sharing with you the readings out of a book that I am enjoying reading myself. It's John Stuart Mill, Utilitarianism on Liberty and Considerations on Representative Government, edited by an H.B. Acton. It's an Every Man's Library classic edition of these works. It also includes selections from August Comte and his positivism. But this was originally published back in 1972. But, of course, the writings of John Stuart Mill date all the way back into the 1850s, earlier and later. And we've been looking at his discussion on representative government, and it's clear. It's a bright light of wisdom here. You know, as we've shared with you right out of the encyclopedias, a little biographical information about John Stuart Mill, we're not dealing with a dummy here. Now, this guy was doing physics and reading Greek and Latin, you know, while he was still in short pants. We're dealing with a pretty powerful mind, and as he got older and got involved with public service, which is where he worked for his entire life, he found out more and more about the party system and about representative government in specific and in general, and wrote well about it. So we'll pick it up right there, right after the top of the hour break. Stay tuned. Hour number two, straight ahead.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs.
Now get a free Sonic Spark Plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic Spark Plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, June the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Now kicking off and getting underway with our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast, and joined as we are by the audience of AM 1710, Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. I thank them so very much for carrying today's broadcast, along with our other AM and FM affiliate micro broadcasters and stations out there. So certainly let's get into the meat and potatoes here. Of course, if you're not in the chat room, you're missing some pretty good links that are being dropped in there. We've got a couple of chatters that have really been staying right on top of the BP process. They've got a little bit more wisdom cooking than others, but you might jump in there and look around a little bit, browse around a bit in the chat room this morning. You can find that. You can log on, bookmark becomevocallocal.com. That's becomevocallocal.com. Spell it the way it sounds like it. Or for simplicity, you can go to vocallocal.org. Either way, it gets you to the same place. You see the chat link on the homepage. Click on that pop. You're inside the chat room. Pick a name or come in anonymously. Your choice. Chatango.com, I guess. Anyway, so we're going to go back into a discussion here, a continuing discussion, a little bit as we go, a little bit each day, on John Stuart Mill and his concepts in representative government. We're going to restore a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, or hope to do so. It might help to understand just what it is. What is a representative system of government? Can it work? Will it work? Should it work? Is it the best system out there? Some think so. John Stuart Mill certainly thought so. I think so as well. This whole idea of a constitution, anyway, well, there's a lot to that, but we're not on that. Let's look at the representative system of government. And we're looking at the criterion of good governments, a good form of government, as opposed to some of the others. Before we go into that, I'll just simply say that there's a lot of discussion out on the Internet, and there's a lot of discussion in Patriot Radio, and everybody's coming up with different ideas of this and that. Some people are champions for anarchy and no government. Some people understand anarchy, some don't, rightly or wrongly. Lots of libertarians out there looking for more and more liberty, looking for more light, scratching at the door of the lodge or whatever they're doing. But anyway, there are some simple things that have been known to man for a long time. And I have to remind you that in my opinion, researched as it is, it's not government that's bad. It's the people that seem to go awry. It doesn't make any difference what kind of a system of government that you have, whether you have a monarchy or a dictator or a constitutionally limited form of representative government. If the people are all a bunch of imbeciles, then they can only expect to have an imbecilic, tyrannical, and despotic government. So we have to bring ourselves up to the level of independence and self-government if we hope to live that way. And, of course, some basic fundamental principles, understanding things like your rights ending where the rights of your neighbors begins, with your chest all pushed out, or like Barry the Usurper with your chin stuck out with a swivel-headed, bobblehead doll or something. basically, if you're not willing to extend to others that which you hope for yourself, then you're just making a big mistake, in my opinion. But let's go back in and study a bit more with John Stuart Mill. I just really like where he's going in all of this. It is what men think that determines how they act. You see how important it has been in the past for the John Dewey bunch and others to come in and start to manipulate, the Edward Bernays School of Public Relations to come in and start meddling with our minds. All the various different schools, Gramsci and the rest of them, coming in and start meddling with the people's minds, knowing full well that it's what men think that determines how they act, and if they can change your thoughts, they can change your actions. Well, we'll pick that up right after these words from our sponsors.
Summer's coming. Are you prepared for adventure or natural disaster? Sea Panel makes delicious, drinkable water from any source. Make even contaminated ocean water more pure than bottled water. 100% solar powered. Goes where you go, sets up in seconds. No filters to replace, no complicated maintenance. Make over a gallon per day per unit. Sea Panels aren't filters. They're desalination units, able to remove salt, fluoride, and dissolved contaminants. Peace of mind and preparedness, starting at just $99. Now, enter the word ORACLE into the coupon box to receive free U.S. shipping and a free 8-in-1 stainless steel survival card knife. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we've returned once again for the last notice this morning on our Friday, June the 25th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Joined as we are, some of our AM and FM affiliates come back from their top-of-the-hour news and weather breaks. Going back into the writings of John Stuart Mill, trying to come to a better understanding of the system of representative government, as he wrote of in the 1850s. We're just closing out chapter one. There's lots of chapters that we could go through. You know, if everybody was interested, we could just read the whole blessed thing. Pretty interesting treatise. Maybe you could find a copy of it for yourself for your own library or download it on the internet. I don't know. It might be out there. I haven't looked. But again, it is what men think that determines how they act. And though the persuasions and convictions of average men are in a much greater degree determined by their personal position than by reason, that's so very important. you just sit down and reason out an argument. You know, you're a carpenter, and so you think of things from the carpenter standpoint of view. You're a silversmith, and so you think of things from the silversmith's point of view. Maybe you live in a hovel, and so you think of your whole life based on the plight of your hovel. Maybe you live in a palace, and so you do things from the position of the palace. Again, it is what men think that determines how they act. And though the persuasions and convictions of average men are in a much greater degree determined by their personal position than by reason, no little power is exercised over them by the persuasions and convictions of those whose personal position is different, and by the united authority of the instructed. And so we see through this, we can see through this glass darkly, this idea of new financial regulations coming in, as they are basically being crafted by the Uniform Law Commission, perhaps the American Bankers Association, no doubt the American Bar Association, involved up to their eyebrows, and all of the banking lobbies and all of the insurance lobbies in there, helping to shape their opinions and their cross currents of public opinion, shaping law and legislation as we speak. And so there's nothing changed from the time of 1850 forward. It's just the titles of the bills and the kinds of things discussed, but it's always based on personal position. When, therefore, the interest instructed in general can be brought to recognize one social arrangement or political or other institution as good and another as bad, you know, you raised up, you know, it was the Cold War, Joseph Stalin, you know, Mikhail Gorbachev, Khrushchev, you know, Ronald Reagan, the commies and the anti-commies, bring down that wall, all of that. You're taught that one institution is good and another institution is bad, Protestant good, Catholic bad. No one trusts the Jews. One as desirable, another as condemnable. Very much less has been done to give toward giving the one to the one or withdrawing from the other that preponderance of social force which enables it to subsist. There are many things, many complexities in government and in governing and in social and economic things from a geopolitical standpoint, even locally. Things we oftentimes overlook. We're not acting from reason, we're acting from position. And the maxim that the government of a country is what the social forces in existence compel it to be is true only in the sense in which it favors, instead of discouraging, the attempt to exercise among all forms of government practicable in the existing condition of society a rational choice. Reason, logic, reasonableness, that which ought to be. Well, it continues. The criterion of a good form of government. Now, chapter 2. The form of government for any given country being, within certain definite conditions, amenable to choice. You say, we always remind you that choices have consequences. Be careful how you choose. Be careful what you wish for. But again, the form of government for any given country being amenable to choice. It is now to be considered what tests the choice should be directed. What are the distinctive characteristics of the form of government best fitted to promote the interests of any given society? It's not just a cookie cutter, the best government, one size fits all. You have to look at the people. Governments are made, you know, governments instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Governments are created by the men for their government. And so as the people change and as time changes, their government that they desire, the government that they choose, the government that they're willing to submit to or support changes with them. Before entering into this inquiry, it may seem necessary to decide what are the proper functions of government. How many times have you heard it here? I'm with Mike Chambers and together, all three of us, with Doug Owen on the Oracle Unleashed. We're going to have to come up with a definition of what functions should government serve. What is the role, the proper role of government in the 21st century as we move forward with the internet and all the other forms of telecommunications. Again, before entering into this inquiry, it may seem necessary to decide what are the proper functions of government. Isn't it nice, 1850 year, isn't it nice to deal with somebody that was raised up well by his father, homeschooled? He wasn't taught what to think, he was taught how to think, and he thinks well and writes well as well. For government, altogether being only a means, the eligibility of the means must depend on their adaptations to the end, to what is the end of government, and by which means shall we get there. But this mode of stating the problem gives less aid to its investigation than might be supposed. And so before you fill my email box up inquiring as to what, you know, John Stuart Mill is saying, just continue to listen. This man's a logician. He's building a reasoned argument. He's presenting all sides. This is an open debate that's waging here. So before we conclude that this is how he feels on something, we need to continue reading because he might refute or unwind that idea in the few pages following. But this mode of stating the problem gives less aid to its investigation than might be supposed, and does not even bring the whole of the question into view, for, in the first place, the proper functions of a government are not a fixed thing, but different in different states of society, and much more extensive in a backward than in an advanced state. In other words, in an advanced state, we need less and less tyranny and despotic control, moving further into more and more freedom always. But we, the people, have to make that transition. We have to become those people that can be self-governed, living free, independent lives. But as long as we continue to act like mere base animals, then we could only expect to find ourselves in a Sir Thomas Hobbesian, all men at war against all men, brute state, natural state of man, the state of nature. Continuing. And secondly, the character of a government or a set of political institutions cannot be sufficiently estimated while we confine our attention to the legitimate sphere of governmental function. We'll pick that up right after this. Be right back.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Mike Chambers for my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
My soul. Come explore the human stargate and what lies beyond. Walk the rebel path. Sundays.
And so I recall to your memory the idea that the home of philosophical radicalism, as we style it here each and every day, where freedom is popular, remaining the best hope, owes its origin, really, to this idea of mine sometime back years ago when I first started out on this, launched this voyage called Become Vocal Local, and encouraging people to think of who are the philosophical radicals and who is the head of that philosophical radicalism. Certainly wasn't Jeremy Bentham, although most would say it is. James Mill was involved in that as well, John Stuart Mill's father. But so many people credit him, John Stuart Mill, as being the founder of philosophical radicalism. I think Jeremy Bentham probably wears the hat best. But he too was influenced by those that came before him, just as we're influenced today in our own inquiry into philosophically radical thinking along the lines of freedom, even as we are influenced by the writers that have come before us. So we study all things. Continuing along here without belaboring that point too much, while we confine our attention to the legitimate sphere of governmental functions, there is a legitimate sphere of governmental functions. But he continues and he writes, for though the goodness of a government is necessarily circumscribed within that sphere, its badness is unhappily not. And so we could take our compass and put it on the paper and draw a circle, or maybe we could put three interlocking circles and become like the sustainable development movement and focus on economy, environment, and equity. But when you draw your circle with your compass and you put government inside that little universe, it can hold all of the good that government can offer, but unfortunately even that circle is not vast enough to hold all of the evil that could come attenuate with that government. Every kind and degree of evil which mankind are susceptible may be inflicted on them by their government. John Stuart Mill writes, and none of the good which social existence is capable of can be any further realized than as the constitution of the government is comparable with and allows scope for its attainment. Man, such as you begin badly, you cannot help but to end badly. And if you start with a poorly constituted, if your government body, if your organs and bodies are of ill design, such as perhaps we could say the United Nations and the World Federalist Council and the International Brotherhood of Muslims or Masons or Jews or whatever, however it's set up, you can't expect to have anything but grief. So again, every kind and degree of evil of which mankind are susceptible may be inflicted on them by their government. This is why we're instructed to be ever vigilant. Never take your eyes off them. And as our founders knew well in their day, that the Liberty Tree does best when it's watered from time to time, necessarily as it is, with the blood of tyrants and patriots. And none of the good which social existence is capable of can be any further realized than as the constitution of the government is compatible with it and allows scope for its attainment. Not to speak of indirect effects, the direct meddling of public authorities has no necessary limits but those of human existence. And we see this over and over and over again as every one of our state houses convene in all of the various states of the Union, twice yearly. And legislation flows out like the cornucopia has no limit, the same at the federal level, the same at the international level through the United Nations and all of its organs and bodies. If there are no necessary limits other than those of the human existence, the mind of man being evil continuously, and the influence of government on the well-being of society can be considered or estimated in reference to nothing less than the whole of the interests of humanity. We're talking about interests here. What are these different interests? What are your positions? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? Being thus obliged to place before ourselves, as the test of a good and bad government, so complex an object as the aggregate interests of society, we would willingly attempt some kind of classification of those interests which, bringing them before the mind in definite groups, might give indication of the qualities by which a form of government is fitted to promote those various interests respectively. Now you're not going to be able to just grab hold the corner of the Etch-a-Sketch and lift up the little filmy covering and take away, sweep away all of these thousands of years of history that have led us to where we are today, but we can carefully research history and draw from the best of all minds, the best of all things, and bring them together and help to build or shape the days and weeks and months and years ahead in the 21st century. As we move into greater and greater measures of freedom and less tyranny and despotic control. It would be a great facility if we could say the good of society consists of such and such elements. Wouldn't it be easy to simplify? But unfortunately, we too often oversimplify. One of these elements requires such conditions, another such others. No one size fits all. The government, then, which unites in the greatest degree all these conditions, must be the best. The theory of government would thus be built up from the separate theorems of the elements which compose a good state of society. So no matter what happens with the Cameron government, no matter what happens with Gillard after she replaces Rudd, what is sauce for England may not be sauce for Australia, and the sauce for those two ducks may never be appropriate in the United States of America. The theory of government being built up from the separate theorems of the elements which compose a good state of society. Unfortunately, to enumerate and classify the constituents of social well-being so as to admit of the formation of such theorems is no easy task. In other words, he's not coming to the table with a bunch of panaceas and quick breads. He understands the magnitude of this challenge, as I do. There's no quick fix. There's no simple remedy. It's going to take time. But one thing that I do recommend is that we are very, very careful as wise physicians to correctly diagnose and isolate diseases, as opposed to being run away always chasing after victims and symptoms, developing the malaise, the paralysis of analysis, so that we can correctly identify and isolate the disease and then proceed to cure the disease, so that we're not continuously putting band-aids on the sucking chest wound on the body politic. And again, to enumerate and classify the constituents of social well-being so as to admit of the formation of such theorems is no easy task. If we make a mistake here, and we certainly have no time for errors now, it may very well be that our cure is worse than the disease we're trying to fix or heal. And that's, I'm afraid, what's coming down out of the regulators as they look at the financial house. They're only looking at a corner of the garment. They're not looking at the entire beast. We'll be right back.
Edge Talk Radio, online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so as you've heard me say many times in the past in regards to the current plight that we're faced, it's pluralism. Pluralism. You might look that up, browse it up. Find out what you can about pluralism and look into Harold J. Lasky. But if we can understand that we've been divided into an uncountable number of little groups, and then all of the little groups, like so many birds on a fence wire in the morning sun, cheeping for something to eat and something to drink, and their mothers and fathers working the field, coming back to the little birdies, feeding them and feeding them and feeding them and feeding them, never-ending bellies as they grow. We can understand something about the nature of the beast, back just briefly to this article we started this morning in regards to Feldman and lifting the moratorium on drilling. Catherine Wanamaker, is that like that wannabe? Catherine Wanamaker, an attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center, which is representing five environmental groups that intervened in support of the drilling ban, said she is disappointed but not surprised by Feldman's ruling. See, the idea of pluralism was to transition away from a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, not only in the United States, but wherever constitutions exist on the planet, and do end runs around the Constitution through the power of pluralism. Small groups, disparate groups, groups oftentimes funded by the great foundations, wielding their power and their influence through such things as estates and wills and philanthropy, etc., the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, ways of doing tax dodges and tax hedges and advancing their agendas and furthering their stock shares without having to pay the tax man in the process. But again, this Catherine Wanamaker, she represents five environmental groups: the Defenders of Wildlife, Sierra Club, Florida Wildlife Federation, the Center for Biological Diversity, and the Natural Resources Defense Council also filed a notice yesterday that they are appealing Feldman's ruling lifting the ban. Be careful now on YouTube. Be careful in the blogosphere. The green weenies are raising their ugly head. They've been silent up until now. Now they're going to move forward. They will advance Agenda 21. In the 21st century, never let a good crisis go to waste. Back to our text, John Stuart Mill, writing so long ago, had the same problems in his day. Philosophical radicals, as they were, most of those who in the last or present generation have applied themselves. See, he's looking back to the last generation as well. He's looking back to the time of our founders. He's writing in this 1850, and he's looking back to Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations, 1776, and the writings of Hamilton and all the rest of them, Jefferson and Thomas Paine and others. He says, most of those who in the last or present generation have applied themselves to the philosophy of politics, Auguste Comte, his system of positive philosophy and his system of positive polity or politics, trumped only by his catechism for the positive religion or the universal religion of humanity. He says again, most of those who in the last or present generation have applied themselves to the philosophy of politics in any comprehensive spirit. That reminds me of Richard Buckminster Fuller, the Dymaxian car, the Dymaxian house, the geodesic dome, a comprehensivist, not a specialist. Nikola Tesla, a comprehensive thinker, one that can see beyond the box. He thinks circularly, not linearly. The comprehensive spirit have felt the importance of such a classification, but the attempts which have been made toward it are as yet limited, so far as I'm aware, to a single step. The classification begins and ends with a partition of the exigencies of society between the two heads of order and progress. Order and progress. Order Abkeu. The progressives, the Bulmus parties. Order and progress. Progress, growth, and change. And change. And change. I'm bringing change and order and progress. In the phraseology of the French thinkers, that's where we get this idea of order and progress. The French thinkers, Proudhon and so many of the others, Saint-Simon and others, Auguste Comte and others. Permanence and progression, in the words of Coleridge, permanence and progression. On the one hand, we have the conservative. On the other, you have the liberal. This division is plausible and seductive from the apparently clean-cut opposition between its two members and the remarkable difference between the sentiments to which they appeal. But I apprehend, in other words, he sees, but I see, but I apprehend that, however admissible for purposes of popular discourse, the distinction between order or permanence and progress employed to define the qualities necessary in a government is unscientific and incorrect. All right, the experts say, always check your experts, because you're being dialogued into consensus on a regular basis to accept the sustainable development memes and talking points, right? But when examined, they oftentimes fall unscientific and incorrect. The International Panel on Climate Change, the hockey stick model, all right? For first, what are order and progress? Don't you see, even John Stuart Mill, wise enough to always define your terms. Be very careful. I learned from these writers to always start with the dictionary, and from the dictionary I go to the encyclopedias, and having gone through that, then I flesh it out through the various authors and writers. Before you embrace an ism, go take the time, find out who is the founder. And if you can find the founder of that ism, oftentimes you can find their faith statement, as we are today, looking at the faith statement of the utilitarians and the philosophical radicals as written of by John Stuart Mill. For first, he writes, what are order and progress? Concerning progress, there is no difficulty or none which is apparent at first sight. When progress is spoken of, notice he's not saying evolution. He's not talking about evolving. He's talking about progress. Things can progress. Things do progress. But do things ever truly evolve? Concerning progress, there's no difficulty or none which is apparent at first sight. When progress is spoken of as one of the wants of human society, it may be supposed that we mean improvement. Improvement. That is a tolerably distinct idea. But what is order? Sometimes it means more and sometimes less, but hardly ever the whole of what human society needs except improvement. What is order? And what is progress? Is it improvement or not? In its narrowest acceptation, order means obedience. Remember Jeremy Bentham, his panopticon, his concept, his model prison, where the guards are all in a tower in the center and the cells range all about in multiple levels, multiple floors of cells, and all the windows on the guard tower are clouded or opaque or occulted. The prisoners never know when the guards are watching, but the guards could be watching at any time, so the prisoners are all obedient. They live orderly. In its narrowest sense, acceptation order means obedience. A government is said to preserve order if it succeeds in getting itself obeyed. Order, apkeo. But there are different degrees of obedience, and it is not every degree that is commendable. Only an unmitigated despotism demands that the individual citizen shall obey unconditionally every mandate of the persons in authority, such as America and Canada, perhaps Australia and England and Germany. Oh my God, it's all over the whole planet. It spreads. Only an unmitigated despotism demands such. We must at least limit the definition to such mandates as are general and issued in the deliberate form of laws. Again, my revelation of years past, there's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law. That in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. What is legal positivism? Simply stated, whatever the prince says has the force of law. Only an unmitigated despotism demands that the individual citizen shall obey unconditionally every mandate of persons in authority. We must at least limit the deliberation to such mandates as are general and issued in the deliberate forms of law. There's a vast difference between equal justice and social justice. The Supremes now want to have people enter the great court from a side entrance so that they don't walk under the chiseled in stone words equal justice. Now they live under social justice. We no longer live in a rule of law, as Hal Anthony likes to say. Or maybe we do now live in that rule of law. Those who are unable to make their ordinances obeyed cannot be said to govern. We've said it in the past. Any unjust law that is not obeyed, will not be obeyed, is not law at all. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. enginebrain.com. enginebrain.com.
Summer's coming. Are you prepared for adventure or natural disaster? Sea Panel makes delicious, drinkable water from any source. Make even contaminated ocean water more pure than bottled water. 100% solar powered. Goes where you go, sets up in seconds. No filters to replace, no complicated maintenance. Make over a gallon per day per unit. Sea Panels aren't filters. They're desalination units, able to remove salt, fluoride, and dissolved contaminants. Peace of mind and preparedness, starting at just $99. Now, enter the word ORACLE into the coupon box to receive free U.S. shipping and a free 8-in-1 stainless steel survival card knife. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powdered seeds and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee. Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Yes, running at a disadvantage. The guys in the chat room have me outnumbered. Got to do the broadcast and can't spend the whole day in the chat room. Anyway, back to our discussion. Back to our discussion here again, referring as we are to the criterion of a good form of representative government, the second chapter in John Stuart Mill's treatise on representative government, looking at these concepts of order and progress, order meaning obedience in this case, and continuing. Again, those who are unable to make their ordinances obeyed cannot be said to govern. They can't get you to go along with the International Property Maintenance Code in your town. It falls on deaf ears. If every time they send their code enforcement officer out, he comes back broken and beaten, I guess they'll back it off. Maybe try again in a few years, you know. Maybe not. Maybe they'll send out an armed man instead with a badge. But though a necessary condition, this is not the object of government. Order, obedience, not the object of government. Governments are instituted among men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But this obedience, this order, is not the end or the meaning of government, the object of government. That it should make itself obeyed is requisite in order that it may accomplish some other purpose. How can we secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness if there aren't enough teeth at government to actually get the job done? If you can't spank the bad boys from time to time. All right? And there's going to be bad boys. There's going to be the big guys. But as I've said before, I don't want to live in a society, and I don't think you would either, where we'd have to shoot our way down to the post office and then shoot our way down from the post office to the grocery, shoot our way over to the filling station, fill up the truck, and then shoot our way all the way home trying to preserve the groceries and the fuel until we can get back behind our armored door. That doesn't make sense to me at all. That's a state of nature, absolutely reprehensible form of government, if any government at all. So that it should make itself obeyed is requisite in order that it may accomplish some other purpose. We are still to seek what is that other purpose, which government ought to fulfill, abstractedly from the idea of improvement, and which has to be fulfilled in every society, whether stationary or progressive. I mean, choices have consequences. Moving forward is one choice, standing still is another choice, left and right, more choices yet, going backwards, another choice. Choices do have consequences, and we have the power to choose whether we'll be stationary or progressive. In a sense, somewhat more enlarged, order means the preservation of peace by the cessation of private violence. Holster your arm, brother. Let's talk this one out. Order is said to exist where the people of the country have, as a general rule, ceased to prosecute their quarrels by private force. And if you go back and read Sir Edward Coke or William Blackstone, the laws, commentaries on the laws of England, we see this long development, all the way from the Wittagemont forward, this long development, this transition between settling quarrels and disputes by private force. We no longer need to have the advocates. We no longer need to have the knights in shining armor to settle our disputes for us. We can come, together, meet one together in a deliberative assembly and find redress of our agreements, again, by private force, and acquired the habit of referring the decision of their disputes and the redress of their injuries to the public authorities. Remember, as he told us in the advance, that there's an evil that lies within all of this. If you refer everything to public authorities, and you, through your own lack of diligence, due diligence and vigilance, you allow these public authorities to become abusive of their quote-unquote powers, then you're going to get the tyranny you deserve. Yeah, you don't have to vote. Yeah, you can step aside. Yeah, you don't have to participate in any of this, but then shut up in the future when the tyranny comes on your head. All right? Strike while the iron is hot. Order, continuing, in this larger use of the term, as well as in the former narrow one, order expresses rather one of the conditions of government than either its purpose or the criterion of its excellence. It's just one of the conditions of government, for the habit may be well established of submitting to the government and referring all disputed matters to its authority, and yet the manner in which the government deals with those disputed matters and with the other things about which it concerns itself may differ by the whole interval which divides the best from the worst possible scenario. All right? So he could see this in 1850. They were looking forward. They were forward-looking individuals. And they did, in their time, craft the government that we inherited. But through the magic of Aleister Crowley and the Stairway to Heaven and all the rest of that, we've allowed our system to go to hell in the handbasket as we chase after sex and drugs and rock and roll. Continuing. If we intend to compromise in the idea of order, all that society requires from its government, which is not included in the idea of progress, we must define order as the preservation of all kinds and amounts of good which already exist, and progress as consisting in the increase of them, to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and more so, and ever more so, quantities of all the above. This distinction does not comprehend in one or the other section everything which a government can be required to promote, but, thus understood, it affords no basis for a philosophy of government. So we still haven't answered the question yet. We cannot say that in constituting a polity, certain provisions ought to be made for order and certain others for progress. It doesn't work that way. It's not cut and dried. It is not simple. Although simpletons do often think it is. Since the conditions of order in the sense now indicated and those of progress are not opposite, but the same. The agencies which tend to preserve the social good which already exists are the very same which promote the increase of it and vice versa. The sole difference being that a greater degree of those agencies is required for the latter purpose than for the former. And if all of this or any of this is flagging over your head, do take advantage of the unlimited free access to the Become Vocal Local show archives page. Some of these pages I have read in the last month or so, two and three and four times. Some of these pages have been open for days as I try and figure out just what is he telling me. It's underlined, it's highlighted, margin written, with post-it notes applied to these pages, trying for desperately to find answers so that we could get ourselves out of this horrible fix we find ourselves in today, Ollie. What, for example, are the qualities in the citizens individually which conduce most to keep up the amount of good conduct? You see, if we don't rightly understand what was meant by the pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of happiness principle, if we don't understand beauty and virtue, and the things that Francis Hutcheson wrote about that started this idea, this happiness principle, which found its way into the Declaration of Independence, then we don't understand our part in this as well. But again, from Stuart Mill, what are the qualities in the citizen individually which conduce most to keep up the amount of good conduct, of good management, of success and prosperity, which already exist in society? Everybody will agree that those qualities are industry, integrity, justice, and prudence. All right, so here's an opportunity using the yardstick set up by John Stuart Mill, doing a checkup from the neck up. How do you line up? Are you industrious? Do you have integrity? Are you just in your decisions and in your actions? Do you exercise prudence or excess? Are you industrious? Are you slothful? Do you have integrity? Do you have to be reminded over and over and over again that you have a radio broadcast to do? I don't. I was asked once if I would consider doing a radio broadcast, and other than technical difficulties that were beyond my ability to remedy, I've been here every day. The day I no longer want to do the broadcast, I'll advise those in power and I'll shut this microphone off. But a man's word once was a man's bond. It's not enough to just simply say a thing, then you must do the thing. Are you industrious? Do you get busy with the things that you're doing? All right, so there's these four qualities. But are not these, of all qualities, the most conducive to improvement? And is not any growth of these virtues in the community in itself the greatest of improvements? I think so. Folks, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. I'll see you again on Monday, and until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.